definitely human.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The elven immigrants and diplomats deployed to Fortuna take much of their culture with them, as can be seen in their fishbone-inspired fashion and their candelabras forged from trident heads. But do not be deceived by their odd ways. They may not be rich in taste, but they are fantastically rich in gold and in cunning. As our heroes enter the marble atrium of Ambassador Rio Oleander's house, they must prepare themselves for a battle of wits against a most ingenious adversary. Mingling, sneaking, Pax Fortuna! Bilateral Relations and Coercive Diplomacy, Part 2.
Oh, this is fancy, isn't it? It's a good job we dressed appropriately, otherwise we'd be feeling pretty silly now.
The guests look like they are almost all human. The two waiters are elves, have trays poised very highly in the air on their fingertips, and they weave in and out of the assembled guests.
Well, stride forth and take a glass of wine.
I take a glass of wine. I don't drink from it. It's going to be hard to remember not to.
Upstairs, there is a kind of balcony that goes around the atrium. And you can see a guard up there, also human, dressed the same as the one on the front door. And he's kind of circling. This atrium is a kind of antechamber, really. It's a receiving room. There's one exit out the far end. But this has a kind of glass skylight. And it's a nice place to receive guests.
Everybody, if you see me go to lift up my visor, please stop me because it's not going to be good.
Something wrong with your face or
yes, you
forgot to shave
that
this morning or something like that?
I don't have a face, so it's... Yes.
I'm
still dead. I'm still dead.
So. I know, but I didn't know what the sort of situation was.
It would be worse if it was sort of partially decayed, I suppose.
It's not even that.
It's not even there at all. There's nothing left.
No, what about the other stuff, like behind the face, like the skull or...
It's gone.
Oh, yes. Well, I suppose if you try to drink then, what'll happen? Will it just come out of the...
It just sort of... I mean, that would be funny if it did, but it just sort of sloshes around inside, really.
I pass a glass of wine to Tony.
Okay.
Because I feel like aristocratic children at 13, they would be sipping wine at a party, no? Yeah.
Are there any other children here?
There are no other children.
Tony, don't make a mockery. There you go.
Is this how they do it, is it?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Just sip it.
Well, I have a face. Perhaps I might be permitted to...
No, mate, you're to help. You need to, like, just stand and look.
Are you sure there's a sort of hard and fast rule? Are you sure there's no... Maybe just a little
mouthly punched.
Wine's for the important people, you know?
Fair enough.
Yeah, is anybody looking at us? Are we getting weird looks?
One or two people have turned their heads towards you. One is an older woman dressed in a bright green dress, a human in her 60s, perhaps. And she addresses Sir Victor first, assuming that you're in charge. She says, hello, hello. I don't believe I've had the pleasure.
I give her a little bow. No, you haven't. We've just arrived. I've just arrived straight from a battle, as you can tell from how I'm dressed. I mean, I cleaned it first. Anyway, sorry, I'm rambling. I am Duke de Montfort. This is my wife, the Duchess de Montfort.
Good evening, miss.
Lynette Griffey.
Pleasure to meet you, Lynette Griffey. Mrs. Griffey?
She seems to assume that you know her.
Oh.
Or you would have heard of her.
Oh, okay.
And she's waiting for a reaction.
A nice sort of sense that I say, oh, yes.
Ah, there it is. Yes, that Lynette Griffey.
Ah. How are you, Lynette?
I've been better, but I've also been worse. So, and she like tips more wine into her face.
So it's just mostly nothing that you're feeling now then, I suppose. Just a sort of bland nothingness.
I always feel poetry in my soul. I'm sorry, who are you?
Can I kick Selwyn in the shins to try and stop him?
Yeah. You certainly can. Would you like to do that surreptitiously?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of, I want to do it quite hard though.
Yeah, okay.
I take your meaning and then after you ask who I am, I just don't speak. I just stare at you and then I wink at Tony.
She looks towards Abstinence and then towards the victim and says, not from around here, is he?
This is our bodyguard. Selwyn. I just realized we didn't agree on a fake name for Selwyn. He doesn't need one. This is Selwyn, our bodyguard, and of course, our lovely, beloved son, Tony. Anthony de Montfort. Say hello, Anthony. Tony.
I just do like a little curtsy.
She's delighted. She pats you on the head.
I tug on Abstinence's sleeve and say, Mama, I need to use the bathroom.
Oh, certainly, Anthony. Okay.
Perhaps Selwyn could take me?
That's what he's here for.
That's what I'm here for.
Selwyn, could you please take Anthony to the little boy's room?
I nod curtly and then I follow Tony. And I say, did you see how I when I got your meaning when you kicked me because you wanted me to stop talking because I was being conspicuous. So I just shut up, you see? So you work together quite well.
Yeah, yeah, you got it, Selwyn. We're like a team, isn't it?
Like
yeah.
A team, yes, yeah, exactly yeah. What I was going to say.
If I'm kicking you, that means you're doing something wrong. That's all we got to know.
You know, I understood that instinctually, I think.
I've got a way with people, you know?
You know you do. I like you, Tony.
Yeah, I like you too, Selwyn. No bother, yeah. Oh,
thank you.
I kind of flick my little sailor's toggles over my shoulder. Right.
I've got a little bit more of a bounce in my step.
Okay. Tony likes me.
So you guys are going to find the bathroom men, and Lynette grasps you by the elbow. Abstinence says, come, you must meet everybody.
Sure, Lynette.
Selwyn and Tony, as you make your way around the assembled guests, there are maybe 10 of them. Could you, Selwyn, please make a perception check?
16?
16. You see in the crowd a face that you've seen before. It's a Bartholomew Spinks, whose box you cleaved in half.
Oh, I know that man. Let me go and say... Oh, no, wait. Now, how did we last leave things? Perhaps we should avoid him. Oh, but that would be impolite.
I think so, and it's best if we don't try to talk to the other guests, if you know what I mean. We need to kind of make ourselves like shadows, you know?
Okay, as you leave the atrium, there is a corridor that goes down to the left, and you happen upon someone dressed in a cook's apron.
Is there any kind of like any fruit about?
There are like tiny little canapes on a table in the atrium, more biscuity and fish-based.
Okay.
Well, this looks like we're going down the kitchen. It's not very good, is it?
You presume he is going to the kitchen, but there must be toilets around here somewhere.
But we're not looking for the toilet. That was just a cover. We're not looking for the toilet.
Wait, we're not looking for the toilets?
No, Selwyn, it's like, this is what we're talking about, this thing called lying. You say you're going to do one thing, but you do another.
Right.
You're not a gondola or like a bodyguard, are you, or anything? It's like...
But I am sort of a bodyguard in a way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're sort of a bodyguard. But it's like, you always lie what you know? It's like, you got
to... There has to be a certain level of truth to it in order to make the lie work better.
You've got to build on who you are.
Sure.
Let's go have a poke down around near the kitchens and see if we can...
Ah, yes. Good idea.
Don't get too distracted by the fruit, mate. You know?
Well, you noticed that, did you?
I've got a nose for these things.
Is there any fruit about in the kitchen?
You enter the kitchen and it's fairly busy in there at the moment. Dinner being prepared. The first cook, I presume, is busy frying something. It's a large and complex kitchen. There is a lot of stuff happening, but no fruit. The cook does a double take. He says, are you lost, sirs?
Yes. We are looking for the bathrooms. And I wink at Tony.
Inside, I'm real proud.
The cook says, well, just head back out the way you came and down the corridor and to the left.
Will do, thank you.
And I do not move. I'll move when you move.
Like a shadow.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, back in that atrium, Absence and Sir Victor, you are pulled towards the man that Lynette was talking to. This is our Father Grain Cranley.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Cranley.
Mr. Cranley.
Bows very low at both of you. I am Cranley of the Temple of Magnificent Plenty. And yourselves?
We're a duke and a duchess, you know. I mean, what more is there to say?
He laughs heartily. For a commercial city, there are quite a few aristocrats here, aren't there?
Yes, of course, because you don't have aristocrats here in Fortuna anymore, do you?
No, that was always the plan when Fortuna was set up. But as it happens, you know, maybe times change.
Yes. It's all for the best, isn't it?
He doesn't quite know how to take your your statement. The Duke and Duchess of where, did you say?
Of Mortheim.
I confess, I haven't had the pleasure of visiting. Are you new to Fortuna? How are you finding it?
We are, yes, we are new to Fortuna. Yes, it's very pleasant. We've been having the tours of the cities the last few days. And
I got this nice cloak.
A very fetching cloak it is.
Yes, I know. well, we've got you, Father Cranley. How familiar are you with our host, the ambassador? Obviously, we've not had the pleasure. Have you met him before?
I have indeed met him before. He sometimes comes to my church.
Oh, really?
He is not religious, you understand, but he likes to be a part of a community.
I see.
So I do not know him that well, but we have conversed on many occasions, and it's very kind of him to invite me here. Sorry, how do you know the ambassador?
How do we know the ambassador, dear?
Charitable work.
I did not understand him to be a charitable man. I've always tried to open his heart a little more, but if you've managed it, then I am very impressed. May I ask what charities you subscribe to?
Well, you know, our son, Anthony, is crippled, and, you know, we like to do a lot of work with children in similarly unfortunate situations.
I see. Oh, I'm so sorry. I did not meet your son as he came in, if I may be so impertinent. How did it happen?
How did it happen, dear?
Could it be like a skiing accident or something?
Could it be a skiing? It could be a skiing accident, yes. It's very difficult for us to relive the memory, obviously, but
of course, I'm so sorry.
Tragic skiing accident, yes.
Recall it. Lynette looks bored.
Lynette, when will our host be arriving?
When indeed? We have been waiting here for half an hour now. Father Cranley tries to pacify her. The ambassador has much on his mind these days. I'm sure he will be along presently.
Well, it was a pleasure to meet you both. We have some circling to do.
Of course, don't let me keep you. Lynette takes this as a cue and walks off to find a waiter with more alcohol.
We circulate.
Yes.
I sort of swirl my wine, sadly.
Right. Oh. So, Tony, do you think perhaps we should ask about this Harley fella? Because we don't actually know where he is.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky, isn't it?
I'll be honest with you. I thought we would go in and it would be sort of obvious where he might be. But this house is actually it's probably the biggest thing I've ever been in.
Maybe we can make up some kind of ruse, like say I'm one of his friends, and how old is he? We don't know how old he is.
He'd probably be as old as that Mimsy woman, right?
How old does she look? I can't really remember.
I don't know. Humans kind of look the same to me, if I'm honest.
Oh, we could say I'm a little cousin.
Well, the thing is, we both look very proper and aristocratic, right?
Well,
and they're all a lot of these people move in the same circles, I understand. So yeah, maybe you're a cousin or something.
I think the chefs are like staring at us now. We're like
just down the corridor to the left, sirs.
Oh no, that's okay. We don't need to go anymore.
I kick Selwyn with the side of my foot.
Actually, I was wondering if I could bend your ear a moment.
We are very, very busy in here.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Well, the problem is little Tony here, as you can see, he's very aristocratic and wealthy, and he's from a proper family and everything.
I kind of puff up my chair.
He says, I'm sorry, do you have a request of me?
We're looking for Harley.
Harley.
He's a cousin of little Tony here. And Tony was just hoping to say hello.
A cousin of Harley.
That's right, yes. Little Harley.
He looks at you, Tony, just confirming to himself that you are not an elf. And he says, how exactly are you related to
through
the family?
Marriage, I think. He's not a close cousin. It gets a little diluted as you go out more.
He raises his eyebrows at this and says, not in the ambassador's family, it doesn't.
Well,
I'm sorry, who did you say you were again?
Well, I'm Selwyn Bloodstorm.
No, it's Selwyn. One needs the bathroom now, I think, Selwyn. Maybe we can see my cousin later on, and I just march out the kitchen.
Right. So, any idea where this Harley
goes? Come along, Selwyn, come along!
He watches as you go out the door and is still staring for a little bit, his eyes narrowing suspiciously before he goes back to cooking.
Well, that was rubbish, Selwyn. We forgot Harley was an elf.
Well, I don't know. I've never actually seen an elf before.
No, it's tricky, isn't it?
I'm starting to think talking to people isn't really our strong suit.
They're risky, isn't it, Mark? Yeah.
Just seems to get us into trouble.
I don't really know how all this posh stuff works. It's a bit tricky for me.
Well, I think you're doing really well. I don't think they doubted that we were aristocrats.
We better get away from the kitchen. You don't know what I mean, do you? No, it's all right. I look around frantically for like another door.
If you look to now your right, there is a door.
Yeah, can I peek through the door?
It is the bathroom.
So the others have probably found Harley's room by now. So within a few minutes, we'll probably be on our way, right?
I'm not so sure about that, Victor.
And they've been gone for ages. How hard? It's not that big of a house. Come on.
As you're circulating, could you, Abstinence, please make a perception check?
19.
You can see a face that you recognize as well. You can see Bartholomew Spinks talking with some other guests that you don't recognize.
I go up to Bartholomew Spinks.
Okay. Victor, you haven't met him before. He's a rather tall, distinguished-looking man with a thin nose and hair that's graying on the temples. And he double-takes and pauses on you, Abstinence, and says, my lady, have we met before? I feel like I recognize you.
I was instrumental in helping deliver a box to you not so long ago to your house.
His eyes narrow.
Strange business that ended up happening there with the protesters.
His eyes widen in recognition.
My eyebrows are raised. Mm-hmm.
It's you. You are you here with the others?
No, I've distanced myself from that troop.
Oh, I'm so sorry. For a moment, I thought you were blackmailing me.
Oh, no.
But
please meet my my husband, Sir Victor de Montfort.
He slowly turns to you, not quite understanding. When I saw you last with those mercenaries...
Oh, it was all just funny business, really. They were my hired help. I was just making sure that your box got to you.
She's a very adventurous spirit, my lovely wife. She likes to get out and involved in the community. You know, I'm sure she did a great job for you.
Well, if you will recall, madam, my cargo was stolen.
Well, I knew nothing about that. It was all that fighting. It got a bit hairy, so we legged it after
you. I see. Well, you and your husband, Victor, was it?
Yes, Victor. I mean, also Duke de Montfort, it's also fine.
Ah, Duke, my apologies.
By the way, if you do mean to challenge my wife's honor, obviously I will have to defend it.
No, and
I
sort of touch my enormous sword. Absolutely not. No, I do not.
Good. I don't want to, but I will.
I see.
Let's keep things civil.
Well, I'm very surprised to see you here. I didn't realize you were of high birth.
Indeed.
Just look at her.
Of course.
Well, it was a pleasure. We must circle.
A pleasure to see you again.
The nerve of that man to imply that you wronged him in some way.
I really put my foot in it there. I shouldn't have said anything. We should have avoided him altogether. Sorry about that, Sir Victor.
No, it's entirely his fault. Entirely. He's clearly gotten you mixed up with somebody else. I don't know.
It's Selwyn and Tony. Are you walking back into the atrium? There's one door, but there's a corridor that goes from left to right. So you went down left.
Can we look through that door?
Yeah, okay. You go to a corridor on the right, and a door on the left leads to a large dining room. This room itself has doors, one in each wall, actually. Four in total. You've come in the door to the south.
Christ, how many rooms do these guys need?
I know, it's ridiculous. All right, I just walk up and start opening doors.
Okay, if you open the door on the left, it leads to an open air area, a kind of small garden that's neatly laid with flower beds, and there is a spiral staircase in the middle.
Master Tony.
Yeah, what is it, Selwyn?
Stairs. That's how we get up, isn't it?
That's generally how it works, yeah. All right, that's...
I must say, we're doing very well.
Yeah, I feel like we're missing a bit of vital information somewhere along the line, but...
No, I mean, he's probably in his room.
Yeah.
Bedroom's usually on the upstairs.
I mean, I'm sure they're getting lots of valuable information down at the party and that, but I'm starting to wonder whether we need to change the tactic a little bit. We should keep looking up the stairs, but I mean, how do you feel about physical violence? Is that your kind of a fit? I mean, you look like you can handle it yourself.
To be honest with you, Tony, I much prefer that kind of thing.
All right. I'm thinking if we, if the opportunity arises, maybe we just grab the next person we see and beat it out of them. You know what I mean? We'll find out where Ollie is the easy way.
I'm not sure how abstinence would feel about that.
Well, she didn't need to know, does she? She's.
I think she does need to know.
I think it's the kind of thing where she wouldn't. She'd rather just not know, and you just kind of went. It's called initiative.
Oh, I see.
It's kind of like a bodyguard kind of a thing.
Oh, well,
acting in the.
I'm a bodyguard.
I know. What? Oh, hello.
That's exactly. Well, that's what I do, right?
Yeah, so... they do things on a bar for the body, you know?
It makes sense.
So I head towards the spiral staircase.
It's fairly wide, metal painted white with a kind of ornate floral pattern.
Is it like okay steps for my crutches?
Yeah, the floor of each step is solid.
Cool. That's
hobble cool. your way up.
Yeah, I'll hobble up the steps.
It does clang quite a lot with your crutches on it.
How many rooms upwards, if you know what I mean?
It's just one floor, isn't it?
So assuming, like we are, that he's on the top one... Then it's got to be up here somewhere.
Not just the hat stand, are you? Yeah, come on, Salman. What are you doing? Stand at the bottom, chatting. Just get up the stairs.
Hat stand. All right. I take my hat off. You're supposed to take that off when you're indoors.
Well, you're now outdoors in the garden.
I'm so confused. I just throw it in a hedge.
So this is a square garden, and then you've got a balcony that rings it, and then... there are doors that lead off into other parts of the building. So the door that leads south, you presume would lead to the balcony that is above the atrium.
So I put my finger up to my lips to someone to be like, quiet, mate. And then I head to the door in the east to have a peek through.
Okay.
I try to be sneaky.
You're in another corridor with several doors leading off of this. Ahead of you.
What do these doors look like?
They are just plain wooden doors, all of them. A lot of the wood in this place is not decorated in any way, but the corridor is carpeted.
Okay.
And there are candlestick holders dotted along the corridor.
I guess just start opening doors.
Yeah, you got it, Selwyn. Let's go. Which do we just? We both take a door each.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you to each roll like stuff.
7, 3.
Okay, you are clomping around quite heavily. You don't know if anybody has heard. You open the rightmost door, and it seems to lead into some kind of bedroom. It is empty. It's a very plush room with a lot of soft furnishings and drapes over the windows.
Now we're getting somewhere. Beds. That means bedroom.
Yeah, it does, mate. Yeah. Should we look in another one?
Okay, you look in the next one. You grasp the door handle, but it doesn't budge.
Aha.
They did say it'd be locked. Otherwise, he would just leave, wouldn't he?
I think you know what to do, Selwyn.
I just put my hand on the door and just tried to, despite the lock, open it anyway.
Okay, please make a strength check.
11.
It's not budging at all. For a wooden door, it seems to be surprisingly strong. It's not even moving a little bit.
This is very strange.
Yeah, what kind of... You mean, you're a big bloke. This must be a pretty strong door.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like a strong door at all.
Oh, is elves magic?
Oh, yes, maybe it's got some sort of spell on it, you think?
Oh, I don't know the sound of that, Governor.
Sounds like it's a little bit above our pay grade.
Yeah, I know what you're... Well, no, come on, we can do this.
No, you're right, why am I putting myself down? We can do this.
You can hear footsteps on the metal balcony the other side of the door, where the garden is, where you came in.
We should leg it, probably.
We'll just stride like we know where we're going.
Yeah, exactly.
Approaching you, coming from the stairs, you see the security guard that was on the door. Hello?
Hello?
What are you doing up here?
Just having a stroll.
I understand guests were meant to stay in the atrium until his lordship arrives.
Well, little Tony here.
He looks at little Tony.
I give him my best smile.
I wink at little Tony.
He needed to go to the bathroom. So we were looking for the bathroom, and we got a little turned around, but I think...
You're a long way from the bathroom.
Like I said, we got a little turned around, but I think we know where we're going now. You know what children are like.
Could you please roll a deception check?
18.
11.
He looks at you, Selwyn, and looks at little Tony.
I ruffle Tony's hair.
Well, yeah, I guess it is a confusing place. There's a lot of...
It's like a labyrinth! So big.
The toilets, if you go back down to the atrium, turn left down the corridor, and then it's left from there, just near the kitchen.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's. We'll just carry on our way.
Okay.
Yes, we'll just carry on our way, won't we, Tony?
And I just nod furiously.
And I wink again.
He says, all right, I'd hurry up, though. Dinner's going to start soon.
Oh, yes. Better be going. So, what are you up to? Stamina? Stretching your legs?
I start kicking someone in the shins.
He says, oh, I just gotta bring young Harley down for dinner.
Ah, so you've got a little one to look after as well, have you?
He rolls his eyes and says, yeah, don't I ever.
Tell me about it.
Can we, like, poke our heads in just to watch him go and see what door he goes in?
Yeah. You were trying to do it sneakily, or you just...
I feel
just...
that's more of a job for me than for Selwyn.
Go ahead.
Yeah? Roll a stealth check.
9.
He does notice you behind him as you open the door that he just closed again. He says, past the kitchen to the left, young sir.
I, like, grab Tony and I'm like, oh, well, I hope you have better luck with Harold or whoever it was.
He says, ah, thanks, sir. You look after that one.
Yeah, well, I'll do my best.
You see, he turns to the door that you were trying to open, and he takes a necklace that he was wearing and presses it against the door. And then you see the edges of the door glow. And then he opens it and walks in.
I just, like, turn to Tony, like, we were right.
As you go down the stairs and through the garden, the guests start filtering into the dining room. And Abstinence and Sir Victor, are you following where they go?
Yes.
Yeah. You can see Councillor Spinks looking at you oddly. Abstinence still a bit confused and put out, as if he can't quite work out what your game is.
Give him a really saccharine, sweet smile.
He frowns and then smiles back.
I touch the sword again.
And then he frowns again and then, like, hurries along on his way. As you go into the dining room through the door to the left, you see Selwyn and Tony walk in.
Do we walk or do we strut?
Well, you tell me.
Victor! Mr. Victor! And a wave.
Hello, Selwyn. Hi.
Yes, here we are, all back again. Yes. And Abstinence, of course. I saw Victor because of the armor, you know.
Yes, it catches the light a lot, doesn't it?
How'd you guys get on?
You could say we found him.
So where is he? Did you bring him?
He's in a room upstairs by in a garden, and there's a guard who's got keys, like a magical door.
It's a magic door.
It's a magical door.
It looks totally normal, but then I tried to open it, and it doesn't.
But better yet, Ollie's coming down for dinner right now. Well, I don't know if that's better, because are we going to get him out
okay.
Yeah, so we
you
we
didn't
try
want
to
snatch him
well,
before
I mean, we could
dinner?
We could intercept him before the dinner happens. Is anybody in the... are we alone?
You are absolutely not alone. All the guests are finding their places, and you see everybody has place names set out for them.
Okay. I suppose we'll have to snatch him after dinner then.
The other 7 guests have found their seats mostly on either side of the square table.
7 guests.
7.
This dinner is for these 7 guests and the Oleander family, and you guys are left standing there.
Okay, so I guess we find our places.
Yeah.
I guess we don't have places.
What places?
Yeah, presumably only Abstinence has a...
Well, I don't think Abstinence...
She has an invitation, but...
Oh, right, it's a fake day, of course.
As you look around the room trying to find your places, you see no name set out for any of you.
Oh, bugger.
The opening gambits have been played, and perhaps our heroes already have all the information they need to attempt their audacious rescue. But in life, as in commerce, our competition is always on the move, and any plan based on their reticence is doomed to failure. Our heroes will have to stay proactive in order to succeed. As they regroup to meet their next challenge, their eyes flash with determination, and they bear down upon the hapless waiter. You've been listening to Bilateral Relations and Coercive Diplomacy, written by Maximilian John and produced and edited by David Knight, Tom Dalling, and Maximilian John, with music by Jonathan Day. Starring Charlie May as Abstinence de Montfort, David Knight as Selwyn Bloodstorm, Elizabeth Smith as Sir Victor Bartolomei, and Tom Dalling as Tony the Shrimp. I am Maximilian John, Game Master. You can follow us on Twitter at Visit Fortuna. If you are enjoying the show, you can listen to the whole 26-episode series right now. Available on our Patreon to $5 subscribers. That's patreon.com/definitelyhuman. Pax Fortuna is a Definitely Human production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.